Well, that was good, wasn't it? Amen. Trivia question that came to my heart when they were singing. It reminded me of a group of young ladies and ladies that sung many years ago. Brother Les Roloff had some people that would sing with him. You might know the girls' group that would sing. Man, Seth was going to give $100 to the... Honeybees. That was the girls that he'd bring from the girls' home, and they would sing. That's one of the songs they would sing, and what a joy. Just brought back some memories there. All right, Proverbs chapter 16 this evening. Sure love to hear harmony there. I told Brother Russell on the songs that the choir sung, that last one. I love that song, especially the last part of it there with that harmony. It's good that when you can harmonize together. Something about that. Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to finish up the chapter this evening. And we made it through verse 19 last Sunday night. And again, you know what a joy it really is. I was thinking about it as I was studying and praying this afternoon. You know what a blessing it is that God would let us have such a book to give us the understanding and the wisdom of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of smart people in this world. I've met a few along the way. There's a lot of smart people, but I'm telling you, to have the mind of Christ, I might not know a lot of these things and what the world can do, but the more I sure get in this book, the more I realize I want to know more about Him. And that's what this book of Proverbs will help us do. And I hope it'll be a help to us. Again, we're just going through these parts of Proverbs. Again, this is still a portion that's just little tidbits of things in everyday life to help us. As the song was sung there, what do people see in you? You know, I've worked public work. I've worked around people before that were deacons, and you never know it at the workplace. I've actually met people that were preachers. You sure wouldn't have known it, seen them out in the world. But what do people see in us? And it's all about our desire that they would see Christ. And that's what they need. So these are just things to help us tonight. So let's stretch your legs one more time. We'll read through these verses. Then we'll go back and hit them verse by verse. So you stand with us tonight if you can, out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this evening. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20. The Bible says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones." Verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass." Verse 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you once again for your precious word. God, tonight we sure are desiring tonight, God, just to be taught, to be able to see truth tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help our hearts tonight. God, I thank you for the good songs, the choir, the special, or the good time of fellowship. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us once again, Lord, just to see you magnified. And we'll thank you for what you do in this place. For it's in Christ's precious name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, just little tidbits, things, and when I say little, these are things that'll just, again, I hope, and I've said it over and over again, and I don't know that you've bought into it. I don't know. But you can read the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day, and you'll read it in a month's time. And it's one of those books that would not hurt every one of us to read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. Every time I read through, I see things. And again, it's amazing how God can put the dots together of things that I've read in other places and how He can draw our minds to situations. And these are things that help us to live a life that would be pleasing, not to man, not to ourselves, but unto the Lord. So let's just work our way down again this evening. Verse number 20, the Bible says, once again, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And again, two separate things in that one verse. The very first part says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And I got to thinking about that thought. You know, we all come against things. We all have things that come into our lives that we have to make decisions on. And the Bible teaches us something very greatly in that one verse. He that handleth a matter. Has anybody in here, I'll throw my hand up, you ever done something that when you look back, you thought, boy, I could have done better on that one? Right? It ought to be our desire that when we handle a matter, whatever that matter might be, it could be something what we think small, or it could be something that's big in what we think. But no matter small or big, we should want to handle that matter in such a way that it's right. How do you do that? Well, the Bible tells us this. He that handleth a matter what? Wisely. What's the book of Proverbs about? Wisdom. So if we're going to handle a matter, we ought to take that matter before God. We ought to pray about that matter. We ought to read and find scripture on that matter before you make a decision. Well, preacher, sometimes you just have to make a decision. I understand that, but you still got time to pray. And if you can't get peace about what you're getting ready to do, you better just not do it. It's better not to do it than do it and wish you hadn't have done it. So again, handling a matter. And again, we live in such a spontaneous world. You know what? I used to tell my young people, you got to be careful. You know, there's a pressure world out there. I'm not a salesman by no means, but I've been around probably, anybody here a car salesman? All right, we'll use car salesman. You ever had one of those car salesmen that just try to push you and push you and push you, pressure you, you need to decide today. You need to decide today. You need to decide today. Make a choice now. You better be careful of those kind of people. I tripped one up one time when I told him, I said, well, I'm going to go home and pray about it. He said, you're going to do what? But how do you handle matters? Again, some things have to be decided very hurriedly. But the more you've been in this book, the more you've prayed, the more you've studied, the more easily you'll be able to have that mind of Christ that you can make decisions in a quicker basis. So again, we ought to want to desire to handle every matter in a wise way. And that's what he's saying here. And what I love about what he says there too, it says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find what? Good. You know, everything I've ever done is not always good when I do it. But I have found this to be true. If you do right, it'll end up right. It's not always pleasurable. It's not always easy at the beginning. There's many times, I promise you, it'd been a whole lot easier to say, you know, I'll just let them have their own way. It'd be a whole lot easier to say, well, it doesn't really matter. But when you have to stand and make a decision and stand on the things of God, many times you're going to ruffle feathers. Many times people aren't going to side on your side. But it's still right to do right. And God tells us here that if we'll make these matters wisely, it'll turn out good. And again, we'll not always see everything on this side. There's a payday someday, man. When we get to heaven, I promise you, the records will be made clear. And so again, a great truth there about handling matters. And listen, we all handle matters. These young people are making decisions about life. They're making decisions about college. They're making decisions on marriage. And y'all ain't getting married no time soon, are you? Good. But we ought to teach our young people to pray over these things. Don't just go after what the world says you ought to do. What does God desire for you to do? So again, how do you handle matters? And then verse number 20, the second part there. And whoso trusteth in the Lord. Anybody here ever done that? I trusted in the Lord. Have you? The Bible said, and I love that again, what a great word. Whoso. I don't care who you are, whoever you are. If you'll trust in the Lord, what does the Bible say will happen? Happy is he. Now, I don't think y'all are getting that. And I don't always feel happy. People say, you ought to smile. I look at them and say, I'm smiling on the inside. But you know, to be honest with you, again, when we really trust the Lord, what's that verse say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And do what? Lean not in what? Thine own understandings. How can we be happy when the doctor says you have cancer? How can you be happy when a loved one dies? How can you be happy when your world falls apart? If I'm truly trusting in the Lord, no matter if my doctor did tell me I had cancer, God still was in control. If I'm trusting in the Lord when my loved one died, God took care of it. When my world falls apart, and if I'm trusting in the Lord, I can still be happy. Why? Because God is still God. That's the reason God can say that whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And I know every one of us in here has been through the trench. Every one of us has been through those valleys. And you're like, there's no sunshine and it's just dark. But when you're trusting the Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, it's all about that true trusting. You can't trust him 50%. You can't trust him 99%. You must trust him 100%. And you'll be happy no matter what takes place. I promise it. How do you know? It's what the Bible says, and God cannot lie. So there you go. Even the Lord said that he come for what? That we could have what? Life and what? Have it more abundantly. That's the happy part of knowing the Lord. So you got to trust the Lord. Verse 21 this evening. The Bible says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. How do you become wise in heart? Again, I know a lot of people that are tremendously smart. I mean, when it comes to things of this world, it's amazing the things that they can do. I've been around programmers. I've been around engineers that just amaze me of what they can do with a robot or a machine or computer program. It's just amazing to me. But all that's in vain. But the Bible says there again, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. Not in the brain, but wise where? In the heart. See, it's a heart matter. And how do we have a wise heart? It's a relationship with the Lord and through his wisdom there. Verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. And we're going to see this a few other times as we go through these scriptures. You know, the Bible says to speak truth, how? In love. But you know, you can, and I know I failed my children miserably as I was raising them, but you know, you can discipline somebody with a sweet voice. You don't have to be mean. You can be stern, but still have a love in your heart for that person or that situation. And again, the Lord tells us to speak truth in love. And so the Lord tells us here that the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. You know, a lot of times people get beat down, don't they? I've been in churches before that have pastors that way that just make them feel like he's a slave driver, that he just beats them down. And I hope I've never been that. I don't want to be that. But again, there is a time that the shepherd has to take that rod and correct, but he does it in love. And so I believe that that's such a truth today as for a parent and us, as that we just want to try to serve the Lord to have that sweetness about us. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fool is folly. And verse 22 talks about that wellspring. You know, salvation we know is a spring. It's a river flowing But even with the wisdom of God, this knowledge, this understanding ought to be a wellspring. It's not just a sip. It's not just a cup. It ought to be something that's continually flowing in and out of us. And I believe the Lord says much there about that thought of understanding as a wellspring of life. It's something that just constantly pours itself out unto him that hath it. But, there's the but part, the instruction of fools. And buddy, the world's full of them. But the instruction of fools is folly. It does nothing. See, when God gives us something, and again, I have no wisdom of myself. It doesn't matter what I think. People say, what do you think? Most of the time I say, you don't want to know. But what saith the Scriptures? That's where we should draw our minds from. And again, a fool would not do that. Why? Because a fool says there's no God. And his wisdom in his mind and his thoughts is folly, or his instruction. Verse 23 this evening, the Bible says the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. What does the Bible say about the heart? Out of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaketh. See, it's a heart problem. It's not a head problem, it's a heart problem. And he says there, the heart of the wise, and again, how do you get that? It comes from this truth of the Bible and the walk with God, teaches his mouth. Does your mouth need teaching? Mine does. We all need it. You ever worked around people that if it wasn't for curse words, they wouldn't speak? The filth. And you know, I don't know why this comes through my brain. When I worked at Freightliner, I guess that's most people I've ever been around in my life. Some of the ones that just, I'd never been around that, you know, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I've never been around those kind of people. But you know what? Just I couldn't believe it. Women, a nasty, talking female is, to me, 1,000 times worse than some stinking man. Why? Because I just didn't expect that to come out of a mouth of a female. But I learned quick, buddy, some of them females is worse than men. And again, he talks about the teaching of our mouth. We ought to have a mouth. Again, that's what people hear. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's that lie that we mentioned, right? Because words do hurt. Words stick. Somebody says something to you cross. Every time you see them, that'll probably be one of the first things that come into your mind, unless they owe you money. Money will out-trump words. If they owe you $20, forget about what they said. You just want your $20. But words, you better be careful with words. And let that heart of God teach our mouth how to speak. So verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Again, I had a teacher way back and I didn't learn much from her apparently, but she always said you ought to work on your vocabulary. We ought to let God help us with our vocabulary. Let our heart teach our mouth and let our lips have that learning. Verse 24, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and help to the bones. And again, pleasant words. Again, you can say the right things in a nice way. You don't have to be ugly about it. Again, I don't want to be a compromiser. I don't want to sidestep it. But again, many times I've come back and thought, boy, I could have said that a lot different. Sweet words. There ought to be pleasant words because it brings sweetness to the soul and healeth the bones. Verse 25. Key verse. One of these verses that I hope I mentioned it several chapters back. This verse parallels with chapter 14, verse number 12. This is a verse that you need to mark in your Bible. This is a verse, if you highlight, you should highlight. This is a verse that you should memorize. Verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do you know tonight, I know in the culture we're living in our day, when I was a young man, I didn't even know what a Muslim was. Never even heard of a Muslim, I don't guess. But in our day, we hear much about Muslims. You know why a Muslim does what he does? A true Muslim. Why he straps on a bomb and goes blows himself up? You know why he does that? He thinks he's right. You know why a Hindu or a Buddhist does what they do? They believe they're right. And the Bible here says, once again, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Many people, even in the Baptist church, you know there's Baptists tonight that think they're right, but they're not. But they're Baptists. That don't mean nothing. There's no ism and there's no religion that's right. Because religion is of man. The only thing right is what? The Lord. There is a way. There is. That seemeth right. In their minds, they have bought in with their minds. They feel in the depths of their soul what they're doing is going to get them to whatever they feel like they're supposed to get. Let me ask you tonight. Is what your way is it right? The Hindu thinks theirs is right. Why is your right? The Buddhist thinks their way is right. Why is your way right? The Muslim says their way is right. Then why is your way right? They think their God's alive. Why is what you believe right? That's the reason I tell you over and over again, you better know what you believe and why you believe it. And you better have this book that backs up every bit of it. Their way that seemeth right. The Bible tells us what the end is thereof. But I'm glad tonight I know what is right, and it's not a Baptist way. It's not an American way. It's a Bible way. I still believe in baptism. I still believe in doctrinal issues. I still believe that you ought to have a name to yourself. Why? Baptist tells what we believe. But Baptist ain't getting me to heaven. What's going to get me to heaven? What gave me life was the Lord Jesus Christ. And any other way but that, the Bible says He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Notice what the Bible says. But the end. Isn't that the whole purpose of it all? It's not so much how we start or how we go, but it's where we end up, isn't it? But the end thereof, the Bible says, are the ways of death. Verse 26 this evening. He that laboreth, laboreth for himself. You know, I know this is truth. Don't think I'm saying this wrong. But I hope tonight that that's not true of you. And that's not true of myself. Why? I'm not laboring for myself. Or at least I hope I'm not. Again, it's one of those things you got to be careful. You say you're not and you might be. I don't know sometimes. The truth is, he that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. We all eat to live, don't we? And that's basically what that verse is talking about. There is that fleshly side. But we ought to make sure that our labor is not in vain. That our labor tonight is of the Lord. What we do is has a purpose, and it's not for ourselves. So, again, truth. Verse 27. An ungodly man, not a wise man, not a man of knowledge, but an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. I saw a man yesterday was coming home from the wedding. I'm almost at funeral. Coming home from the wedding yesterday. He was standing on the side of the road in his property, and he looked very tired because he had a trailer there, and he was shoveling gravel on that trailer. You could tell he'd been there probably all day shoveling gravel, and I thought, man, there's no way that I could do that. My back wouldn't allow me to do that. What are you saying, preacher? Notice what the Bible says here. An ungodly man does what? Diggeth. Diggeth takes work, you know it? And you'll be amazed how ungodly men work and labor for evil. I'm glad that our work and our laboring is not for evil. It's for good, I hope and pray. So an ungodly man diggeth up evil. And that, again, that seems like a lot of work. And again, they do it and they'll spend hours digging and digging and digging to dig up more evil. And then the latter part of that verse says his lips is like a burning fire. Does that remind anybody of a verse found over in the New Testament? Y'all read y'all's Bible? What does James say about the tongue? It says hellfire. What does the Bible here say again? An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. This is the truth there. Verse 28 this evening. This verse here, again, I want to talk sweet here for a moment. But this verse here could really get me not talking sweet. This verse bothers me. Well, why, preacher? Because I see it so much. Let's look at it. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You ever notice that? You ever notice somebody whispering? The majority of times it's not good. If you can't, and this is my rule for it. If whatever you're talking about cannot be said aloud, you shouldn't be talking about it. Hello? Those talebearers? We got any of them preachers? I'm sure we do. Those people that like to gossip and go tell, did you see so-and-so? Or whisper this and whisper that. What does God say about them? A froward man soweth strife. Notice he says there, soweth. What are we supposed to be sowing? The good seed. But a person that's a talebearer, somebody that's a whisperer, somebody that has that chatter in themselves to sow discord among the brethren. You better be careful of that crowd. It says, a froward man soweth strife. Let me ask you something. If you sow strife, let's back up. If you sow good seed, what's the good seed? The Word of God. If you sow good seed, what do you expect to come out of it? Something good. It's not long. Spring's sprung and it won't be long. People's going to be sowing gardens. And when you plant that seed of corn, what's going to come up? Corn, we hope. So when a man soweth strife, what's going to come up? Strife. And a whisperer, notice what he does, separateth. He gets in there and is a wedge. And it happens all the time. You know what happens in churches? You know what makes church breakups? Whisperers. If you got something to say, say it. Again, there's a right place to say it. Don't just stand up right in the middle of church and say it. If you got something to say to me, hey, preacher, I need to talk to you. After church, we'll go talk. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. Trust me, I've been told many other things. But don't go whispering. Why? You're doing damage. You think you're doing right, but you're not. God warns us of that. Let me give you some more advice. You might not be the whisperer. You might not be the one sowing strife. But it takes two to tango, as they say. You know what? Somebody's going to come to you sometime, probably already has, but they'll come again. They'll need somebody to whisper to. Don't let that be you. Hello? Hey, that thing don't work. Hello? When they come to you and start to whisper, you say, I don't want to hear that, and walk off. But you know what this flesh does? Ooh. And God warns us of sowing strife and a whisperer. Why? Because it's damaging. It tears down. It doesn't build up. And notice again, it separates. And let me say this. This is logical thinking. I'll use me and my wife. If she is going to be that talebearer, if she's going to be that one that comes whispering in my ear of trouble of somebody else, and again, this is just using her. If she'll talk about that person, you know what? She'll probably talk about me. Because a talebearer and a whisperer, they don't care who to talk about. And if they'll talk about somebody else, they'll talk about you. So you better be careful when they come buzzing in your ear. You know what I do with mosquitoes that buzz in my ear? I shoo them away or kill them. But again, it happens all the time. And God warns us about this, so be careful. So again, verse 28, a forward man soweth strife. Don't be a forward man. Be a wise man. Be a godly man. Sow the good seed of the gospel. And a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, it'd be terrible to think that, and I've seen it, chief friends, not just an acquaintance, but people that say they love one another, care about one another. A whisperer will get in there and destroy that. Be careful. All right, verse 29. A violent man enticeth his neighbor. How can that be? Well, God said it. I don't want to be around a violent man. But the Bible says a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. You got to be careful who you hang around. People, I've seen it. I've seen people get saved and say, I'm going to go back into that bar. I'm going to lead my friends to the Lord. And no, they go back in that bar and they become a drunk again. Amen. Well, I love that boy. I know he's not a church-going boy. But I'm going to date him and I'm going to marry him and I'm going to turn him around. No, you won't. He'll turn you around. Or a girl, whichever way you want to put it. And that's what it's talking about. You better be careful who you hang around. Brother Barker used to say, you lay with dogs, you get fleas. You better be careful who you call a friend. You better be careful who you hang around. But on the opposite side of that, you hang around godly people, you know what they do, or should do? They encourage you to be godly. So pick who you live around. Pick who you talk to. Pick who your friends are. And pick wisely. Again, it says, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Verse 30, he shutteth his eyes, devise forward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. It comes out of his heart. That's what he is. So again, it's a heart problem there. And what's in his heart will come out. Verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory. And I know tonight we've got some senior saints here tonight, and I thank God for you. And that's what he's talking about. That hoary head is the white hair. And the Bible says here that that hoary head is a crown of glory if, that's the key, if it be found in the way of righteousness. I thank God for some godly senior saints. I thank God for some men and women that God has allowed me to have in my life that have encouraged me and given me wisdom and counseled me along the way. And I thank God that they were hoary-headed men and women that had the touch of God upon their heart. But you know what we're raising a generation of today, and I feel sorry, I do. Man, I've said it before, I love talking to older people. I have never fit in with younger people. I've always been around older people, and I love it because I love to hear them talk and to teach and to train, and there's something about that. I love to hear their stories. I love to hear how life was. But there's a generation, and even in our day and in the government, that we're doing away with the seniors. Our world's mentality and philosophy, if they can't produce, if they can't put forth something that's contributing to our country or our world, they're no good. That's the mentality of our day. Why do you think the doctors, why do you think seniors? Laws have been passed into our governments and laws have come down the pike into our healthcare systems that they don't treat you medically like they used to treat you. Why? You're not important to them anymore. But God says you're important. And our young people and our church need some senior saints that are seasoned. And again, it's not the white hair that makes them that. That's the reason that if's in there about that righteousness. So again, I thank God for some men and women that have stood there and showed me and helped me. Verse 32, he that is slow to anger, that's not me sometimes. Anybody in here a little short-fused? Careful. He that is slow to anger. You know, we ought to have that. Again, it goes back to that very first verse that we looked there about handling of the matter. Don't go off half-cocked. Don't go short-fused. But the Bible says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Don't get so easily offended. Don't wear that chip on your shoulder. Be slow to anger. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Notice that spirit is a little s. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's your physical being. That's your spirit within you that's that voice inside of you talking. That's that spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, God tells us to control this body. Do you? Well, preacher, I couldn't help it. God said you could. God says to control it. You're the master, not it. You tell it no. Well, it tells me I want to. You tell it no. You got something mentally wrong with you? No, there's two guys up here. There's an old man and a new man. They're constantly fighting. I just have to live with them. Amen. Don't you have that problem? Amen. God says to take it under control. And then last of all, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap. That lot. Remember they cast lots for the Lord Jesus Christ's clothes, didn't they? Remember Jonah there on that boat that day? They cast lot to see who they throw off into the ocean, didn't they? There's this thought of casting lot. That's what they're talking about. The rolling of the dice, if you want to call it that. That casting of lot. You know what I think about? Hey, young folk. You know what a crazy, is it a crazy eight? Is that ball? Crazy eight ball? My wife's looking dumb like Sessan. Yeah. Remember that little old ball? You shake it. And then it floats up and it tells you, you know, ain't that the crazy eight ball? What is it? Magic eight ball. Well, crazy fits it too. The crazy magic eight ball. Y'all know what that is? Y'all ever seen one of them? Will she say yes?
No.
Maybe again. No. Still no. It's broken? No, Mason says it's broken. That's the casting of the lot. And you'd be amazed. People put out my brain just went dead. That sheepskin, or see if it gets wet or not wet. That fleece, that's the word, I couldn't think of it. The fleece. Well, what does the Bible say? The lot is cast into the lap. And again, you'd be amazed what people do. But notice the last part of that word. But the whole disposing thereof is of who? Who gets the last word? The Lord. What God has set forth to do, guess what? It's going to happen. I don't care what the crazy magic eight ball says. Don't care what the... They still have that in the newspaper? I guess they do. What's the horoscopes? I always thought that's an interesting word. Horror. On the paper. Anybody eat Chinese today for lunch? Nobody eat Chinese today for lunch? Get them fortune cookies. You think some cookie's going to help you? You're a few cookies short of a box. The Lord, He has the final say. That's the reason I want to have His mind. That's the reason I want His wisdom. That's the reason I want Him to lead me and guide me. But we've got to have an open heart to do that. Great little things. If you'll take them and use them and remember them, how do you remember them? You read that chapter once every month and it'll finally click in there. All right, let's stand together and we'll have a time of invitation.